The story that we have today begins with some priests from the temple traveling from Jerusalem to find where John the Baptist is hanging out down by the Jordan River, where he has been baptizing people. They want to find out what he's up to. Rumors have been flying, you see, that maybe John was presenting himself as the long-awaited Messiah, the one the prophets promised would rescue Israel. But when they get there, John assures them that he is not the Messiah or any kind of prophet. "Well, who are you then?" they say. And he says, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, saying, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" Now, these words would have been familiar to the priest because they come from the prophet Isaiah, and he was read often in the synagogue on Sabbath. But it still doesn't really answer their question. Our text for this morning picks up with what happens on the next day. This is from John. The whole text is John 1, 35 to 51. I'm going to read two sections from there, verses 35 to 39, and then verses 43 to 46. And these are all on page 1647 in the Bible if you want to follow along. "The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, there is the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, 'What do you want?' And they said, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' 'Come,' he replied, 'and you will see.' So they went with him, they saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 p.m. And then picking up in verse 43. "The next day after that, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, 'Follow me.' Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, 'We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.'" "Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," Philip said. This ends the readings we have for this morning. God is speaking to us through this story. When God speaks, the words are always true. We can always trust them. Would you pray with me, please? May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So John the Baptist sees John walking by and he exclaims, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." Two of his disciples hear him say this and they follow after Jesus. And just like that, John loses two of his disciples. But I suspect that is exactly what he was hoping would happen. Something mysterious is at play here. From that first moment, with almost no information to go on, these two guys find themselves drawn to Jesus. He has something they must have, something that they have been searching for. Well, the first thing Andrew does is to run off and find his brother Peter. Then a day later, Jesus finds Philip and invites him with the simple words, "Follow me." Philip accepts the call without hesitation. He just drops everything. Why does he do that? Have you ever made such an important life decision so easily, so quickly? And because Philip can't keep his excitement to himself, he runs off and tells his friend Nathanael, who will prove at first at least to be a harder sell on the idea of following Jesus. He finds Nathanael sitting under a fig tree, doing what, I wonder? Meditating? Soaking up the sun? Munching on figs while he rests after a hard day at work? And Philip just just blurts out. He said, Nathanael, we have found the one that Moses and the prophets all wrote about. This would have been monumental news. But then he says, it's Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. And Nathanael almost choked on his fig. Nazareth, you're kidding, right? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? He's not much impressed, obviously. Now, was there some prejudice against boys from Nazareth? How, he wondered, could anything fresh and exciting come out of a poor carpenter from the wrong side of the tracks? Philip doesn't argue with him, though. Notice that. He doesn't argue. He couldn't have explained it anyway. He didn't know. Instead, he says to Nathanael, just, well, come and see. And this exchange is not incidental. It is central to the story. You can't explain Jesus, you see. All you can do is invite people to come. Come and see. So Nathanael goes with Philip, reluctantly, I suppose, and receives the shock of his life. As soon as he sees Jesus and they see each other, without anything exchanged between them, Jesus announces, here is a true Israelite in whom there is no deceit. And this sets Nathanael back on his heels, as you might imagine. What makes you think you know me? He says. And here there is more mystery. I saw you under the fig tree, Jesus says, before Philip called you. So what is there about sitting under a fig tree that makes a man look especially honest? I don't know. And how did Jesus see him under the fig tree and know that he was Nathanael when Jesus was nowhere near that tree and didn't know him? I don't know that either. This is mystery on top of mystery. But the point, you see, is that for Nathanael, the mystery itself is enough. Rabbi, he declares, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. How do you get from I saw you under the fig tree to you are the Son of God? That's another thing I don't understand. But something happened, and it's enough to move Nathanael from disdain, what good can come out of Nazareth, to trust you are the Son of God. The light comes on. In other words, he experiences Epiphany. Epiphany, you know, is the 12th day of Christmas. What do you get on the 12th day of Christmas? I forget. The partridge and the pear tree is the first thing. 12 pipers? Okay, 12 pipers. I don't know why I thought of that. But that's Epiphany is the 12th day of Christmas. It always falls on January 6th. And it's we celebrate it on the Sunday closest to January 6th. It is the Let There Be Light Day in the church calendar. It's when according to the Gospel of Matthew, the wise men reach Bethlehem and they find the baby in his crib. And there they find what they have long been looking for. Things cloudy become clear. The light comes on, and the gracious gift of God is seen and received. Our text today tells a story of a later epiphany. Epiphanies happen all the time, you know. But this one comes with a twist. This isn't a story about what Nathanael sees in Jesus. Not just that, at least. It's also a story about what Jesus sees in Nathanael. That's why I titled this sermon, not Come and See, but Come and Be Seen. At Philip's invitation, Nathanael comes to see Jesus, and then he finds that he is the one being seen. Here is a true Israelite in whom there is no deceit, Jesus says. And Nathanael, maybe for the first time in his life, maybe for the first time, somebody really sees him. And in the way that these stories work, This one is also about you and me. Because this is what happens when Jesus looks at us and we feel his generous gaze. When we are seen and accepted as we have never been seen before, this too, for us, is an epiphany. The selves that we present to the world are layered and messy because we are complicated and messy creatures. And so opening ourselves to another person always feels risky. It's hard. And sometimes it even feels dangerous. Nevertheless, there are also great gifts to be given and to be received in knowing and being known. To be known by someone, to have someone who knows you well and loves you anyway, is one of the deepest of human desires. Something healing, holy, and life-changing happens to us when we are deeply seen, known, named, and accepted. Jesus gave that gift to Nathanael. He also gives it to us. And he asks us to give it to each other, to name each other as the already beautiful image bearers of the divine. Maybe you wonder if this is really possible. Is it possible for us to see our neighbors as Jesus saw his neighbors? Can we really know these others in our lives? You know, our political others, our religious others, our racial others, our national others. We are so quick to judge these days. So quick that we often miss the real person in front of us, and we see only our narrow, stereotype version of them. Maybe we should try something like this instead. Instead of assuming that nothing good can come from the Democrats or the Republicans or the conservatives or the liberals or the Venezuelans or the Somalis or the black, brown, or gay people, instead of believing that Haitians really are eating the pets in Springfield, maybe we can just listen instead for Jesus' invitation to come and see. To come and see them. To come and see him. Just come and see. Come and see your much loved and lovely neighbors in their infinite rainbow variety. Listen to their dreams for themselves and their children. Learn how much their loves and their dreams are like your own. See the God-likeness in them. Come and see, especially because everything else starts here, come and see the God-likeness that Jesus sees in you. See how captivating you are in his eyes, how deeply he loves, how easily he forgives, how intently he desires God's dream to come true in you, in all of us, together. To come and see, to come and be seen, you see, is to approach all of life in this way, even as the world falls apart around us. It is to see all the people we know and love, all the people we don't know but who need to be loved, all the people we may believe are undeserving of love, to see all of these brothers and sisters with a grace-filled curiosity and a Jesus-like fascination. It is to accept that we are holy mysteries, mysteries to each other, mysteries to be explored, to learn from, to care for. Most importantly, perhaps, to come and see is to enter into the joy of being seen and deeply known, seen and known and nevertheless loved. It is to have the very best that lies hidden within us, named and affirmed and nurtured into bearing the tastiest kind of fruit. This is what Jesus did for Nathanael that day when he saw him sitting under his fig tree, doing whatever it is one does sitting under a fig tree. Now, I say all of this in hope, a fragile hope, it seems sometimes, but hope nonetheless. I am hopeful not because we are capable of this clear vision on our own, but because we have the promise from Jesus who said, "You will see greater things than these." We will too, you know. We will see heaven open as Jesus also promised. We will see, as Amos prophesied, justice flow down like water and righteousness like an everlasting stream. We will see all the world made new in God's image as we are all being made new in God's image. So don't be afraid. Don't hide yourself away. The light has come. There are brilliant epiphanies ahead for us around every corner. So come. Come to see and to be seen, to bless and to be blessed, to discover the good that did come out of Nazareth, to discover the good that can come out of all of us together. Amen.